Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until he takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in to a brand new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. In this week's episode, it's part two of our interview with brand new BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon. In that first episode, we talked about Gary coming to BYU, his grueling comeback from a shoulder injury, and what life was like growing up in rural Arkansas. I highly recommend, if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, go back and check out episode one. Now, several schools recruited Gary coming out of Earl High School in Arkansas, but he eventually chose Baylor University. So, why was Baylor the right school for him? Gary, before the break, we were talking about the schools that recruited you, the schools that didn't recruit you. One of the schools that came after you was Baylor. That's ultimately where you decided to go. Why was Baylor the right place for you?
I went on a visit there. Like I said, I always take visits. I was big on taking the visits. I got there. The players were welcoming. Guys were from all over the place. Texas, Arkansas, Georgia, like guys were just mixed in, Alabama, and the coaches. Like without saying anything, you could see the respect that the players had for the coaches that were there. You could see talking to those guys, talking to the parents of those guys, like this is what you want to be around. This was these people that you were going to be around every single day, including the strength staff, that was who was going to be developing you to be a better person every day. You could see the influence that they had because you go on a visit and you see all these players just interacting with their coaches, like playing with their coaches. Like you, like it's not just coaching right now. They have a personal relationship because why would he be interacting with him that way if they didn't care about each other genuinely?
Yeah.
So it's like for me, and it was like, okay. Another thing, I came from a small town. Baylor wasn't that good before. I was like, okay, I want to play here. I want to be a part of this change. So it's like that. Those things. The degree from Baylor. And my Baylor degree has some value to it. So it was like, I was able to get two of those.
Yeah, there you go.
So for me, it was like those things, everything just aligned. It aligned perfectly with everything. Every core value that my mom stressed growing up, everything that she wanted me to really accomplish outside of football, it all aligned. I was like, and it just felt right.
What were the two degrees that you got?
Health and kinesiology. That's my bachelor's, and I got a master's of science.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what does that accomplishment mean to you versus any of your athletic accomplishments?
I think I might be the first on my dad's side for sure, probably my mom's side, probably the first male with a master's degree, probably. I'm like very sure of that. But that's something to brag on.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Like for me, that's like, okay, you did something big because – I'm probably the only male in my graduating class with a degree.
Really?
My homeboy just graduated. We probably don't want to.
So two in your entire graduating class?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Guys just don't go, people just don't, college is not that big of a deal. College is not that big of a deal. So for me, it was getting a degree and being one of the people to get one was, that's a blessing. Like, nobody can take that away from you. That's going to hang in my man cave for the rest of my life until I got to pass it down or something. But, I remember, like, I have a son. I remember my favorite picture of all time is my mom when she got my degree. She didn't tell me. She just sent a picture of my son holding it. That's my favorite picture to this day.
Wow, what a story. That is inspiring. That's very inspiring, and I appreciate you sharing that. Let's go back to your freshman season at Baylor. So let's talk about on the field. So your freshman season, you saw a bit of playing time and then you redshirt.
Right.
Then the following season you get more playing time and then you played in the Big 12 championship game after Charlie Brewer, the quarterback, got hurt. How nervous were you going into that game?
Boy, I was shaking. And don't get me wrong, I always prepare like I was a starter. Every week, I'm always in the film room. Like, I probably watched more film than anybody in the building. And the coach will tell you that. I watched so much film because I just felt like I was behind coming from a small town. It was like, I had so much to learn. And I was like, I want to play. I want to catch up. I want to be able to sit in these meetings with coaches and talk just ball. Like, there's nothing like a coach getting up there just on the board, just moving his marker around, talking you like to other people, outside people. That's like a foreign language. It's like, I want to speak that language. And so for me, I remember when he got dinged up, I'm like, I think the time has come for me to play. And I was a little nervous until I got hit. Like, once I got hit, I was like, okay, I'm in the game. You've been practicing. You play a little bit. It's what you do every day. But the only thing is, I played the week, 2 weeks before against Kansas and tweaked my knee. And so I wasn't good.
You got pulled from the game.
Yeah, I wasn't good. That was the only part I worried about within the game. That's what had me so nervous. Cause you always want to be at your best at whatever you do. I wasn't good. I couldn't run. Like, I had to run. I was like, go play in the game.
Yeah.
Part of my game is being able to run around. Yeah. I didn't have that part of my game. So for me, I was nervous. It's like, you want me to go out and operate at like 65%? So I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was. But wasn't able to win that game. The experience was good.
What was that like where you do get that opportunity? But like you said, you know you're not 100%, and then it doesn't work out. And you come out of the game. Like, how difficult was that to deal with? Was it? I don't know. Was there more anger? Like, I knew I wasn't 100%. Like, was it that, or like how disappointing was that game specifically for you?
Anger, probably not the word for me. I was more disappointed that I wasn't at my best for my teammates and my coaches. I would say disappointment in my family that were watching. I would say that was the disappointing part for me because I wasn't able to be at my best when everybody needed me to. So for me, I felt like I was a little bit, you can say angry too, that I let everybody down. That's the way I felt. Because for me, it's like I always want to go put my best foot forward, and I wasn't able to do that. So I think about that to this day. Yeah, that's what it was.
So let's go into that off season then. Head coach Matt Rhule leaves for the NFL.
Yep.
Heads to the NFL. Dave Aranda comes in. So the 2020 season, that's shortened. Charlie Brewer comes back as the starter. You guys go 2-7. Whether it was before the season or after the season, how frustrating was that personally in terms of not maybe getting the playing time that I'm sure you wanted going into that year?
Oh, I was frustrated. The 2020 season, I was very frustrated. It's typically when you're losing quite a bit of games, change happens.
Yeah.
I never got the opportunity. And so for me, it's like, you know, watching ball all your life, that opportunity should be presented, but it wasn't presented for whatever reason. Yeah, so I felt it was more of a knock to my, it was more of a knock to myself. Like, I feel like I was balling.
Yeah.
Like, set 2 years, I'm balling right now. I'm confident right now. I'm healthy. I'm like, all right, just be quiet, stay humble, and get the opportunity. The opportunity going to come from what it's looking like. Just keep doing, finding ways to help your teammates. And that's why I lived at.
What made you stay at Baylor? Because I'm sure that there was, you probably thought about, like, this isn't going to happen for me here. I need to go someplace where I can play. So what made you stick around for the next season?
My mama. I was gone. I was gone out of there. My mama, she was like, yeah, new coaches, new OC coming next year. Just compete. Like, you don't know how it's going to shake out.
Yeah.
Just go compete. You've been competing all your life. Just compete. Then Charlie hits the portal. I'm like, okay. Now I have a fair chance to compete with guys that have not played yet. Now we're all on the even playing field. Just go compete. So it was like that opportunity. Coach Grimes came. Love Coach Grimes. And we'll forever love him and his family that were welcoming. And he came. And I just, what he stood for, I love that. And I want to be a part of that. I want to play for him. I want to go out there and take the field for him and Coach Aranda.
that 2021 season. You mentioned Charlie Brewer, funny enough, goes to Utah.
Right.
Could you have ever imagined, by the way, a quick aside, that the two quarterbacks at Baylor, one goes to Utah and the other one now at BYU. Can you believe that?
Never would have thought that. Never, ever would have thought that.
In this one quarterback room in Waco, Texas, both are going to end up in the state of Utah on rival teams.
And another thing, every guy that I was in the room with are all at different schools right now. Kyron Jones, Virginia Tech, Blake Shapen, Mississippi State, Jacob Zeno at UAB. It's just crazy times. Like, crazy times. Like, you never would have thought any of that would have happened.
So with all of those struggles and, you know, that feeling like, I know I can do this, what did it mean to you to be named the starter then that season?
I remember going there and sitting down and talking to him. I was like, yo, make your shot. I just couldn't do anything but smile. I just smiled the whole time, and I said, thank you. That was it. I was like, I appreciate it. You guys won't regret the decision. Thank you. And I remember walking out, and I instantly, by the time I was in the facility in Coach Sean Bell's office, and I walked to my car, and I got in a group FaceTime my family, and I said, go to Twitter. And it was on Twitter. And I was all so excited. And it was like, for me, seeing my family that excited, it felt good.
How would you describe that season in general? Because you play in 12 of the 14 games. You lead the team to the Sugar Bowl victory over Ole Miss. When you look back on that 2021 season, how do you look back on it?
I look back on it from a practice standpoint, weirdly. I tell guys, not too many guys say they won a Big 12 championship.
Yep.
I remember in spring ball, we were projected to be second to last at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how bad spring practice was. Defense whooped our butts every day. And finally, the second or third scrimmage of fall camp, we won. And the scrimmage looked so good from both sides of the ball, we knew we had a chance. The coaches didn't have to say that. The players knew we had a chance. And that was the most player-led team I've ever seen, I've ever been around. Like, it was amazing the way we practiced. You come to practice, it looked like a game. Because we competed, like argued, fought, competed. Every aspect of football that helps you win, we made sure we did that. We spent so much time off the field together. Like, it was so much time together in the summer training. Went through so many hard things together. And it was like, we got a chance. Get into the season, win the first three. And we were 1-0 on every single door in the locker room, every building. All you read was 1-0 on every door. We preached that win the day 1%. It was always the small goals. We never looked at Big 12 championship. We never looked at that. It was 1-0, not 1-0 every Saturday, 1-0 every day of the week. And we lived by earn the right to play well on Saturdays. Like, that was we stood on. Like, that's all you heard people preaching about. Like, you would hear a guy try to talk about a game down the line and it would get shut out. Like, it was just like a ton of vision.
Like, you focus on that day, that practice, nothing else.
That's it. And it was like, we lived, and after months of that, it becomes the way you think.
Yeah.
It was habitual. Like, that's what you were supposed to do.
And then that spreads throughout the team, and then you have buy-in by everybody, and that's when the results come.
That's when the results come. You can't get caught up in the end result. You get caught up in the process to get there. And we live by the process, and that's what it was. Process, process, process. You talking about things outside of football, you hear guys talking about process.
Yeah.
It was just that stuff. And so it was a fun time. Fun time. Competitive time. Great time. Ups and downs. It was a time.
Coming up after the break, Gary bids farewell to Baylor. This is the Deep Blue Podcast on BYU Radio. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast. Jason Shepherd with you. Our guest is new BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon. Before the break, Gary talked to us about finishing the 2021 season as the starting quarterback of the Baylor Bears.
So the 2021 season, you know, you finally were doing exactly what you wanted to do. You go into the next season and things change.
Yeah.
Baylor decides to go with Blake Shapen as their quarterback. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this was not something that they blindsided you with. They did give you a heads up. This is what they were going to do to give you time to transfer. But after what you had done in 2021, how big of a shock was this?
It was a shock a little bit, but not really. I just leave it like that. It was a shock, but not really.
So how did you deal with certainly the disappointment of coming off the season that you did and then not being the starter the next year?
You know, I tell anybody this. When you can lay your head on your pillow at night and say you gave it all you had and did what you could, you at peace with whatever decision. Whatever fine decision made, you at peace with it. So for me, I know what I did. I know what I brought. I know the energy that I brought, the confidence, the swag, like everything. I know what I brought. So it was like I was that same person every day. That's all I can do. It's the rest of it's out of my hand.
So how did the transfer process go for you? What was that experience like when you were leaving Baylor and looking for your next spot? And you mentioned BYU was in the mix.
Yeah.
They came after you the first time you went into the transfer portal. Ultimately, you end up at USF. You go to South Florida. So take me through that process.
Well, I had a lot of schools recruiting me. After plan, you're going to have a lot of schools recruiting you. So I had quite a bit of schools, and it was just – I was looking at the opportunity again. USF wasn't good.
Yeah.
I want to go be the one to help change that, start that, and get that rolling. Like, it's like the difficulties and the adversity that you deal with in that. Everybody chase logo. I'm not a logo chaser. I'm from Earl, Arkansas. I'm not going to chase a logo or this big team. I'm going to go where I feel most wanted, where I feel comfortable, where I feel safe, where I feel at home. And I want to go somewhere where I can make a change. And so, for me, it was USF. Now, for me, just getting recruited, I didn't even take that many. Everybody thought I was going to Mizzou. Everybody. And I liked Mizzou, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. Didn't really want to go there. And I was going to go visit OU, Oklahoma. I didn't even go on a visit. After I went to USF, I just canceled the rest of my visits. Yeah.
So what was it that sold you? I mean, but you mentioned obviously that being the one that helped sort of build it up, but what else sold you about USF?
That and the hunger and the drive of – you saw so much talent on the film. Like, when I say that was – that roster has some talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The receivers there, like Xavier Weaver went to Colorado.
Yeah.
When to get drafted.
Yeah.
Jamie Horn, probably – don't call anybody, said one of the fastest players I've ever seen on the football field. I stand on that to this day, that kick and run. You see Joe, he's actually been ended up in the CFL. You see him at practice right now. He's 6'3", 6'4", like 225 pounds, all muscle. Came from Clemson. Man, you can just name guys. You just like, this is a quarterback's dream to have this much talent, this much speed, this much size around him. So it's like, and then I went on the visit with the coaches. The coaches were just grinding, trying to find ways to make the team better. I remember watching film with Coach Trigger till 1 in the morning. Okay, I love the hard work and the dedication and what everybody stands for here. I want to be here.
So how devastating was it then when you injured your shoulder? We've already talked about the rehab and getting past that, but when it happened, does devastating even cover the emotions you were going through?
Man, it don't. They brought me there for a reason. And we were just now getting – it started clicking. Last two games we have been playing well. I had gotten the groove. I think my last 2.5 games I had like 12 touchdowns and like 1,000 yards. Something crazy. It was something crazy within the last two games. And that happened. You're just like, why? You just ask yourself why, but that's all you can ask yourself. You're thinking about it. And everybody say everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
That's easier said than done. Especially when you prepare all offseason and train your body so hard that, like, I've always been in the mindset of train so hard that there ain't nothing your body ain't went through and can't withstand. That was just my mindset about it. If I trained way harder than everybody, my body would be able to withstand anything that was supposed to happen, anything that happened. So for me, getting injured, it was just like, dang, I let the guys, the same thing. I let the guys down, let the coaches down. Then my coaches ended up getting fired after that year, too, so that kind of bothered me, too, because I feel like, if I would have finished it out, that wouldn't have happened. But don't get me wrong. Love Coach Golders and his staff. And so glad those guys came. They helped me out so much throughout my process. that believed in me and helped me. But that season, I just want that season to go different. Like, each individual season is that season, so I want that season to be a success.
Whether it was wondering if you were going to be able to make it from a small town in Arkansas, or going through the ups and downs that you did at Baylor, and then certainly your injury. You've mentioned your faith a couple of times during this conversation. How much more did you have to rely on your faith, and how much did your faith get you through those difficult times?
That's what it was, faith in my mom. Started diving into my Bible, devotions every single day, praying more, church, like, I was living in the church. Like, I started going to church. Like, that was, I'm watching church, going to church, because it was like, I just wasn't myself. And it was bigger than me, and I needed. At that point, I needed somebody then. And, just the church, like, it just felt like home for me. It felt home for me. I felt safe. And just being able to understand the word and grow the word, and just the more you dive into the word and the more you get in the church, you realize a lot of times, for some reason, the message just starts speaking to you. And you got a feeling. And so for me, it was like that. Now, I grew up in the church and everything, but now I was old enough to actually understand what I was reading and what was being taught in church. And so I put more time into that. And it sticks with me to this day. Still read my devotions every day, read the Bible every day, watch church online, still make sure I do everything today. And it just made me grow a better relationship with God, honestly. And I'm appreciative for that. Like, that is one of the highlights of getting injured, honestly. Like, just being like, because, you know, in life, young, it's typically going to lose your faith a little bit.
Sure.
Kind of get distracted a little bit in the outside stuff, but it centered me and brought me back in now.
All of your life experiences have now brought you here to Provo, Utah. And you've talked about the opportunity that you've been given to play one more year of college football. What are you hoping to get out of this year?
Man, I ain't even thought that far.
Crazy. One day at a time, right?
Crazy. One day at a time. Like,
one practice at a time.
It's crazy. I don't think about the season. I know it's going to be there. I just think about the different, find a way to get better. Like, taking a year off from football, not being able to do this. Like, yeah, I can't do nothing but live practice by practice, day by day. Find a way to get better, because think about it, I ain't practicing since October of 22 to spring ball now.
Yeah.
So it's just stacking days for me. I'm just trying to live there. Like, and I'm just cherishing the opportunity to be out there practicing. Like, you grew up practicing all your life, and that's taken away. Practice becomes very important to you then. Like, a lot of guys get tired of practicing. Once you can't practice, you realize, y'all don't get tired of practicing if you really love the game. And so for me, I'm just focusing on trying to get better. Like, put myself in a situation to grow and to develop and put my all into it every day. Just stack my days. That's it. That's it.
Obviously, family is very important to you, but I want to ask you about your football family. What is your relationship like, and what has the experience been like with your BYU football family, whether it be the quarterback room or your teammates in general? What's this group of guys like together?
Man, this group of guys so fun. You got so many personalities. And now that we got a little bit of Utah mixed with a little Arkansas, Keelan, Atlanta, little Trey, you got a little bit of everything. It's just fun to see. You got guys in California, like, seeing everybody with the different backgrounds come from different foundations, and seeing everybody mesh with each other and the personalities, the fun times. Like, everybody get caught up into practicing the games, but like locker room talk, spending time with the guys, going to softball, baseball games together. Like, it's just fun to be around. You can tell that everybody genuinely care about each other. That's what you want to be a part of. Like, it's just a fun place to be. Like, everybody complain, like, football players put in all these hours. Bro, we have fun doing this. When you're doing it with the right people, you have fun doing it. So it's like, coming here and just being around those guys has been great to me. It's been peaceful. Like, I remember my first workout was great. I wasn't saying too much, but I saw guys that was like trying to compete with the new guy.
Yeah.
And you like, okay, I like this. Like, this is what the atmosphere should be. Like, I like this. And so for me, since day one, it's been continuously growing, and I love it. I love everything about this place.
You mentioned your son a couple of times. His name's Caden, correct?
Yes, sir.
So 4 years old, is that
four
right?
4 years old.
What's it been like to have him being able to go along this journey with you and be able to watch you go through these life lessons, but also to see Dad out on the football field? What's that journey with him been like?
I had him when I was 19. I remember calling my mama. Found out a week before my birthday. Called my mama, and I told her. And for me, all I could think of was negativity. Because I was 19, just got to college. Trying to figure life out. And I'm like, dang, I got to be a parent too. And you just sit back and think about it. It was difficult, but I wouldn't change nothing about it. That's my dude. That's my dude, throughout my injury. Come home every day to that smile. Make all the pain go away. Make. Regardless of what kind of day you had, come home, he just smiling. Ready to see data. So it's like, people like, is that hard? It ain't been hard for me yet. I've enjoyed every second of it.
Well, you're a great example to your son, and I know that he's proud of you, and I hope that he's going to have the opportunity to be able to come out and check out some BYU football games this year, because I think everybody is going to be in for a treat this year with BYU football. Gary, thank you so much for doing this. You were amazing. And I can't say thank you enough for being willing to come out and do this today. My name is Jason Shepherd. Josh Bergstrom and Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio. Hey, Deep Blue listeners, we just want to let everyone know that the Deep Blue schedule is going to change for the rest of this spring and during the summer. We're going to be dropping episodes every other week, so you won't hear from us next week, but we'll have a brand new episode the week after that, and then every other week until the start of the college football season. Thank you so much for listening to the Deep Blue podcast. Make sure your BYU sports friends or podcast listening friends know about the show and other great BYU sports podcasts like Her Why and the Big Stories podcast. We'll talk to you again in about 2 weeks.